Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I can finally hear properly again, ish.
Oh, that's nice.
I have some nasty scars in my ear as well, so that's going to be a fun story to tell whenever anyone looks at the side of my face. So how have you been?
I'm good. I'm on vacation, so I'm great.
Oh, yeah? Where are you?
Yeah. I'm visiting my mom in New Brunswick. She moved here a few months ago.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Forgive me, I know nothing about the different provinces of Canada. So what's New Brunswick good for?
Well, it's the East Coast. It's on the ocean and stuff. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's she lives in a small town compared to, you know, the city we were living in. So that's also the attraction of it.
That's cool. So you're now closer to me, I think.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whenever anyone says East Coast or West Coast, I never remember which one's which.
Okay, yeah, I'm much closer to you.
Awesome. With you being on holiday and me being in surgery, I don't suppose last week's recommendations got looked at.
I read the whole thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So what did you think?
I thought it was kind of depressing,
yeah.
But a better story than the movie.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Did you read like all the sort of offshoots and spin-offs? Well, not really spin-offs, but... like, did you see the Captain Britain one-off?
Yeah. I went to Comixology and I bought the complete event and it had all of those, like, yeah, all of those things leading up to the main one as well.
That's cool. That Captain Britain sort of one-off issue with Excalibur, that's one of my favorite comics ever. Mostly because it has Marvel UK in it and we often get overlooked, but it's also just a really good book.
Yeah. I had never heard of, I have heard of Captain Britain, but not Excalibur or the soccer person.
Magic Boots Mel.
Yeah.
Magic Boots Mel and Video Computer Graham. They were both created for that issue and they're just the most British superheroes in the world. I love them.
I loved Computer Graham a lot.
it's such a stupid name. I really enjoyed that. I didn't get a chance to read Annihilation. I just haven't been doing much in general.
That's fine.
Because, you know, recovery has been my excuse for not doing anything. Everyone's sick of it now.
I think that's a pretty decent excuse, though.
Yeah, I thought so anyway. Have you done anything interesting on your vacation to report back?
Well, I went, so I'm here in New Brunswick near Fredericton for people who do know, visiting my mom. And I took a bus to Halifax, which is in a different province, for the last 3 days to visit a friend of mine who I tour with. And saw her place out there and saw a show that she's working on. And that was really cool. And she just like showed me the sights around there.
That's cool. Yeah, I remember seeing on my Facebook feed, because side note, I feel like Facebook has sabotaged this experiment.
I've also noticed this.
I don't remember sending you a friend request. I don't remember accepting a friend request, but suddenly now we're friends on Facebook.
Are we actually friends? Because I think it just shows me your... Oh, really?
Yeah, because I saw one of your posts on my timeline and I was like, that shouldn't happen. I made a point of knowing that shouldn't happen. So I clicked through to your Facebook page and we are apparently now friends.
I think it's because we messaged, like we've been messaging to plan these recording things and it just made us friends automatically.
That's probably what's happened, but like... That's not cool.
Facebook ruined the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen like Brett commented on this post on my timeline as well.
So that's not ideal.
No. I guess I could mute you, but I don't like that. Feels mean. I don't want to do that.
I was tempted to unfollow you, but like that's not cool.
Yeah, that's not the point either.
No,
but
I saw you were in, I saw you mentioned Halifax and I was like, huh, I have friends in Halifax. Then I realized it's probably not the same one.
Maybe not. Where's your Halifax?
My Halifax is in Yorkshire in England.
Yeah, no, definitely not the same one.
Cause for a second I was like, Has he come here and not told me? Because we could do like a real life thing, and that would be so interesting.
Oh yeah, no, I would definitely tell you if I was coming over there.
I never get used to the fact that a lot of sort of North American cities are just the names of English cities again, especially they don't stick new in front of them like New York did.
Mm-hmm. Well, Halifax is one of the oldest Canadian cities as well.
I assume that's because settlers from our Halifax settled there. Or is that not how Canada was found? I don't know. I don't know Canadian history.
That makes sense. You're probably right.
Because like that's how like New York and Portsmouth, Plymouth. There's a city in New York called either Portsmouth or Plymouth, I think. I'm showing how little I know about both history and geography right now, and it's I'm such a letdown.
I don't know very much about geography, and especially American geography, but I feel like Plymouth, literally because of a line in Anything Goes, but that could be completely wrong.
Anything Goes is from Hamilton, I'm guessing?
Anything Goes is an older musical.
Ah.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing. Hamilton. Have you seen Hamilton?
I have not. I've listened to the recording, but I haven't seen it.
Because I feel like I'm the last person on earth that hasn't heard anything from Hamilton except about how amazing it is.
The sound, the recording is great. You should check that out. But I've never seen it. I'd really like to. I got to see actually Lin-Manuel in The Heights on Broadway, which was really cool.
That's cool. I've always felt a bit weird listening to musical soundtracks without actually seeing the musical first, because it's kind of spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons I haven't listened to it yet. And also, I don't know, I have a list of things to watch and listen to and never get around to doing any of them.
Right. I often listen to the first act of a recording and then don't listen to the second act until I see the show. That's kind of my compromise.
Yeah, that's fair. Because then like that's kind of just the trailer. You'd see that in the trailer if it was a film.
Exactly.
But like listening to the third act showstopper would totally defeat the point.
Right. Well, I still listen. I sometimes end up listening to the whole thing anyway. But we've also already covered how I feel about spoilers, true. I don't care.
Speaking of like spoilers and musicals and stuff, we've written a list of discussion topics, and I wanted to touch on movies in that, just because it's kind of tangentially related to what we were talking about. What are some of your favorite movies? Let's talk about this.
I think one of my favorite movies is The Hours, and it's also one of my favorite books, and it's incredibly depressing. Don't watch it unless you're ready to just like be sad. but it's, have you seen The Hours?
I haven't heard of The Hours.
It's Nicole Kidman. I think Nicole Kidman won an Oscar for it actually. And she plays Virginia Woolf. And then is it Virginia Woolf? Yeah. And then so she's writing Mrs. Dalloway. And then there's a woman, Julianne Moore in the 50s, who is reading Mrs. Dalloway. And then there is Meryl Streep in, I think, 2000 or 2002 or something, who is living a life similar to Mrs. Dalloway, and their stories kind of intertwine.
Okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm. So if it's that devastatingly depressing, why is it your favorite movie?
I think it became my favorite movie because of the book. Like it's beautiful, and it's kind of about how beautiful life can be, but framed against a depressing backdrop, and is kind of like beautiful in spite of. And the whole thing takes place over the course of a single day, and just like, and which also the original book, Mrs. Dalloway, also takes place over the course of a single day.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it's just like beautiful prose if you read the novel. And then the movie did a good adaptation of like keeping that beauty with like the score and the scenery and the writing as well.
That's cool. I like when directors like they'll appreciate the beauty of a book and like think about how they can reflect that in things that aren't in the book and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Like using the score, like using well-shot set pieces, things like that. I always mm-hmm. appreciate that because it's so often overlooked. I'm Googling this film now because it's got Meryl Streep in it. It's won Oscars. How have I never heard of it?
It's pretty good. Yeah, and they do, like, it's kind of all about, like, little moments, and I think they do that in the sound design, too. Like, there's a scene where she's baking something or cooking something, and she's cracking eggs, and, like, the sound of the shell cracking is very prevalent behind their conversation, and, like, I really like stuff like that.
That's cool.
That kind of, yeah, punctuates the moment.
So it's like, speaking of films with good sound design, I really want to go see Baby Driver for the same reason. Mm-hmm. From what I've heard about my film, from my film nerd friends, it's very much about well-designed sound.
I've heard that too. I haven't seen it yet. I want to.
I mean, I wanted to go see it as soon as I heard Edgar Wright was making another movie, but knowing that he's sort of, it's that well choreographed that it's basically kind of an opera, kind of a ballet, with all the sounds and all the movements being so well syncopated. It's not the right word, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I love when directors pay attention to these kind of things. One of my favorite movies is a little British movie called Frank. Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't, no.
It's based on, it's very, very loosely based on a comedian called Frank Sidebottom, who was famous for wearing a big plastic head over his head.
Okay.
And that big plastic head is the only thing that links the two, because Frank is about a musician in this sort of purposefully really underground, really hipstery band called the Sorin Furbs. Like, their band name is purposefully unpronounceable.
Amazing.
And like, this guy wears this big plastic head, and it goes into like mental health of performers and not feeling good enough on your own and finding fame and breaking down, and all the music is performed by the cast, and it's performed live during the shots, and it's so great.
That's really cool.
I highly recommend it. Like I said, it was a little film four movie. It only cost £1 million to make. Which if you can say the words only and then a million.
Yeah.
But it's small for a film. But such a good film. Beautiful film.
Cool. Yeah, I just found it. It looks cool.
Yeah, I found it on Netflix, and like the poster to it is just, or the poster on Netflix is just the head and the word Frank. And it doesn't sell me on it at all, but I love it. And the soundtrack is phenomenal.
I'm going to look it up. I hope it's on Canadian Netflix.
I cannot attest to that. I don't know why I even thought about knowing if I would know that.
I'm, you know, I appreciate that you tried. You almost had an answer.
I hate that Netflix is so sort of, the libraries between countries are so different. Like, I'll read somewhere, there's this really cool thing on Netflix that nobody's watched, and I'll look it up and go, no, it's not. Don't lie to me. Don't taunt me with this.
Well, I just got into Drag Race because there's, I don't know about over there, but in Canada, there is one season of Drag Race on Netflix.
One season?
Yeah, and I just watched that season, the 8th season.
That's not a good one.
Like, oh, I liked it.
In the grand scheme, like, okay, if it's the only season you've seen, then it's a fair. Great season. But
I've also seen the second season.
That is, which, who won that? Well, who was in that?
That was, I don't remember who won, but that was a season with the other Tyra and Raven.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love that one. That's a good season. We had the first 6 seasons on Netflix. Then they put on season 7 and took off season 1.
Okay.
I don't know why. But then I think they got a worldwide deal with season 8, and they put it up episode by episode as it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have seasons 2 to 8.
That's probably why we just have 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard season one isn't good anyway.
I mean, it's all right. There's a couple of moments in it. I'd quite like to rewatch it, but now I can't.
Well, I want to watch, I kind of want to go forward from eight and then go back to the beginning.
I get that.
Yeah.
I remember I was binge watching through Peep Show again, which is a phenomenal Channel 4 comedy. If you've not seen Peep Show, I highly recommend it. And halfway through me binge watching it, they took it off.
Oh, that happened to me with Happy Endings.
But like, I was at the end of an episode waiting for the next one to start and they took it
off. Oh, seriously?
Like literally while I was watching it, they took it down.
That's almost impressive.
Yeah, I know. They did it with Mythbusters as well, as I was marathoning that. But that was like, I stopped watching it for the day, picked it up again tomorrow, but it was gone.
Yeah, but that happened to me with Happy Endings, and I had one episode left. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to save the finale. I'll finish it tomorrow. And it was gone.
Oh, that's cruel, yeah. That is.
Yeah.
But like, whenever Halloween rolls around, like, it's I always like to watch terrible horror movies. And the UK Netflix is awful for them. Like, they've got, like in the pantheon of like 13 Friday the 13th films, they've got maybe three of them and they're not in order and they're not the first three or the last three.
Perfect. Good.
They're just three random films.
I never understand how copyright or rights work. And I don't think I ever will things like that.
I did a semester of media law as part of my degree. I still don't understand it. Because like, if you're going to get the rights to three of them, get the other 10.
Yeah.
I just has the big Disney exile affected Canadian Netflix yet?
Not yet. But I think that it certainly will. And I haven't seen Moana yet, and that was my plan to see it, so hopefully I get there in time. I'm gonna watch it when I get home.
Oh, we never got Moana on English Netflix. I had to acquire it through other means. Mm-hmm. it hasn't really affected us because we never got them in the first place. Because Disney, like us, I heard the news, like Disney was taking everything off Netflix to start their own streaming platform. And I'm like, that already happened, didn't it?
There's a service. We've got all of Marvel on ours. Not all, but most of it. And I guess that's going because it's Disney? I don't know.
We tend to have the last two Marvel movies.
Okay.
That's all we ever get. But like, there's a service in the UK called Disney Life that is a Disney streaming service.
Oh, so you've already, like, this has already happened to you.
Yeah, I was like, so we're like, everyone in America is panicking about this. And I'm like, no, no, this happened.
Right.
What year is it?
That's funny.
Yeah, they must have just been testing it in the UK or something. Like, I don't know anyone that has a Disney Life subscription. But like this whole thing of every different company getting their own streaming service, it's just turning back into cable TV.
Yeah, it's going to cost as much as cable or more.
Yeah. If HBO or Sky Go, as it is over here, costs 10 a month, Netflix is 10 a month, Disney is 10 a month, it's like it stacks up. And people are just going to start pirating again.
Yeah. And like, it's the same as like, you know, people, I think, started streaming because they didn't want to pay for a package they were going to only use part of. But that's exactly what's happening with streaming now. Like, if I get HBO, it'll be to watch Game of Thrones and I don't know what else, you know?
I mean, like we we got Sky Go over here. And Sky sort of, they buy just a couple of shows from every American network. So like on Sky Go, you can watch Futurama and Simpsons and Game of Thrones and Sons of Anarchy and all that stuff. So like that kind of works for us now, but that's like 15, 20 quid a month. I only watch it because my roommate uses her uncle's logon.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to pay for that and Netflix. And
I know that RuPaul's Drag Race is on Out TV over here, but like I don't want to pay for an Out TV subscription just to watch Drag Race, so I've only seen season 8. Like, that's how that worked out. Yeah.
I'm assuming from the name, Out TV is a sort of LGBT thing.
Yeah.
That's cool. Why don't we have that over here?
I kind of want to start subscribing to that one, actually, because I'm sure, like, I don't know what else is on that, but I'm sure there's going to be something.
Like, I just Googled it. It is Canada. Like, it's literally Canada only. I like, when you said I don't know what else is on it, like, I can't think of a single other show specifically aimed at LGBT people, which is kind of a problem. We need more than one TV show.
Well, there's Transparent, I think, which I think that's what it's called. I haven't seen it. I don't even know if it's on this network, but that is just like the other LGBT show I could think of.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that. Like, we get the odd BBC documentary, about sort of gay people, trans people, gay parents, things like that. But there's not enough to make a whole subscription out of it.
And documentaries are different than pop culture. Yeah.
It's a BBC documentary, so it's tasteful. If it was like a Channel 4 or a Channel 5, it'd be, look at these weirdos. Because that's all they ever do.
Ugh. I said, yeah, like I knew that, but that's news to me.
Well, like, there must be an equivalent network over there that makes basically like zoo attractions into documentaries. Well, documentaries into zoo attractions.
I feel like Channel 4 is a bit like MTV. But I don't know if that's true or if that's just from what I've seen, how I feel about it, you know?
Well, like, Channel 4 is really sort of polarizing because Channel 4 obviously funds Film 4, which made Frank, and also shows Darren Brown. So I have a lot of links with Channel 4, but Channel 4 also makes shows a lot of trash. I'm not sure exactly if they make it. Channel 5, however, is a little MTV-ish.
Okay. I was a huge Skins fan, and so that's sort of what I remember about Channel 4.
I mean, yeah, Channel 4 is, like, it's pretty good, but, like, Channel 5 has Celebrity Big Brother, for example.
Got it. That is much more MTV.
Yeah. They bought the rights to Celebrity Big Brother after I can't remember who sold it, but nobody wanted it. Not even it didn't have an audience anymore. People were done with it.
Right.
And Channel 5 were like, nah, we'll carry on making trash. It's great.
I'm sure you've seen that CISO's going under.
I didn't know they were going under.
They're not going to exist anymore. I'm pretty sure they're done. Yeah, so I want to watch Take My Wife before that's gone.
Have they not sold that to anyone?
No, they haven't sold that one yet. Maybe it's kind of in trouble right now, actually.
Maybe Out TV will buy it.
Maybe. I don't know if... I think they'll... Because that's just Canadian, so probably not.
I was looking at Verve, because Verve bought... VRV or whatever, however it's pronounced. They bought My Brother and Me. I was elated when I heard that they'd bought that and made it free to watch. So I clicked on the link and I was greeted with the, no, you're in England. You're not allowed. For some arbitrary reason, you're not allowed.
We usually get that in Canada too.
Like, it's free on the internet. That should mean free for everybody, right? That's how free works.
And this is why I will never understand how rights work. Stuff like this. Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, I was looking at, like, how VLV chooses their shows, and they have, like, one rule, which is if you can see somebody wearing a t-shirt of it at a Comic-Con, they will buy it. And I feel like Take My Wife falls into that category because there's a lot of nerds that are also pretty gay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised because you know what? I'm about to say something that kind of proves my point. I've heard amazing things about that show. Unfortunately, I haven't seen it. so that's probably it. But I want to watch it. And they just put I don't know if they just put, but I just saw that they have the first episode on YouTube for free.
That's cool. I think that's a CISO thing in general.
Mm-hmm. But I was on a bus when I saw that, so I didn't watch it. But I will be watching it soon.
CISO never got here. Like, it's impossible to get a CISO subscription in England.
It's not in Canada either. They made it available. They made Mabambam available on Canadian iTunes. That's how we got it.
Oh yeah, they put it on iTunes everywhere, I think. Mm-hmm. But like it's like what? How much is it per episode?
I never even looked at it because we don't have it.
Yeah, like nobody in my house like has an iTunes account. So I wouldn't even know where to start with that, but it's like the it's the same with YouTube Red. There's a whole bunch of YouTube Red shows I'd really like to watch, but YouTube Red's only available in America.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's available. It might be available in Canada and a couple of other places, but it's not available in England. And like, if you have a Google Play Music subscription in America, you get free YouTube Red. I have that subscription in England and I don't get anything.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't think that YouTube Red is in Canada. I know I've seen it on my computer, but I think I was only in the States. Like that's like when I was in the States, I did the CISO thing for a month because I was traveling, and that's when Mabambam came out. Which was great. And I've seen YouTube Red, but I think it's just in the States. It's not in Canada.
Yeah. But like they offer, like I wanted to watch the Game Theory YouTube Red show and the Vsauce one, and they're like, for everyone in the UK, you can't watch them on YouTube Red, but you can buy them for like £1.50 an episode, and they're like 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
That's not good economy. I'm not going to spend £1.50 to watch you for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
It's just not a good way of doing things.
I don't think we know the good way of doing things yet, though.
Like,
but like, are we going back to cable is kind of what I'm wondering.
I hope not. But like a lot of it's Silicon Valley companies. They forget that there are other countries that aren't America.
Mm-hmm.
And the right way of doing things is not just give everything to America and forget about everyone else.
No. Because you lose most of your audience. Maybe not most, but like a large chunk of your audience if you don't let any other country watch it.
Well, like just look at population of the world versus population of America. There are more people outside it than inside it.
One thing I like is that Netflix, like one of my favorite shows on Netflix, I'm sure you've heard Griffin talk about it on one of his podcasts, is Terrace House.
Yes.
And I love that Netflix is doing that.
We don't get that on our Netflix.
Oh no.
At least I don't think we do. I've not seen it, although I don't know why it would recommend it to me. I don't really watch reality TV. Mm. Although I watched Drag Race, I've watched The Ultimate Beastmaster. That's their new reality TV show. So it should recommend me reality TV. We must just not have it on our Netflix, which is crazy.
That was going to be my recommendation this week, so that's unfortunate.
I'm gonna search it. Because if we have it, I'll totally watch it. I've been meaning to give it a watch anyway.
Mm-hmm. I like watching it when I'm traveling because like it's loud on planes, but but that's subtitled, so I don't have to turn up my headphones like painfully loud to still hear what they're saying because I'm just reading it anyway. So I like it's a good travel show for me for that reason.
I've just done a search for Terrace House. We have three parts of Aloha State.
And, there are only three parts out
and
so
two
far.
Seasons of Boys and Girls in the City.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much there is apart from that, but that's all we get.
That's exactly what Canada has.
All right, that's cool. Like it says, if you search Terrace on our Netflix, the second thing it recommends you is Terrace House Closing Door, which is not on our Netflix. Why are you recommending me that?
I don't think mine even comes up with any more Terrace House. It just gives me those two seasons. That's funny.
Like, our Netflix has been putting on a lot of Japanese content like recently.
Cool.
A lot of anime, which is totally just because Crunchyroll is getting a lot more popular.
Yeah, and Netflix started producing some anime, I think.
Well, they started buying the distribution rights outside of Japan, which then they can slap their Netflix original on it.
And that is exactly what I meant, yeah. Just although, like Terrace House.
Have you seen the Netflix original Castlevania series?
No, I haven't.
I sort of half watched it. My partner watched it while I was in the room. And like it's pretty good. I wouldn't really call it a Castlevania series though. Have you ever played any of the Castlevania games?
No, I've heard of them, but I don't really know much about Castlevania.
Like it's a guy hunting down Dracula, and the show is also about a guy hunting down Dracula, and that is where it all ends. Everything else is completely different. Like Castlevania, the game's very well known for its fantastic music, and there's not a second of it in the show.
That's unfortunate.
That's a real missed opportunity.
Yeah. The last anime I watched was Attack on Titan. I used to watch more of it, but I kind of stopped after that. Not on purpose. I just started watching other stuff instead.
I think Attack on Titan is the last and also second anime I've ever watched.
Okay. I really liked it.
I really enjoyed it. I also met a couple of the voice actors, and they seem to really enjoy doing it as well, which is, you know, that's fun.
That's always good.
The only other anime I've watched is Death Note because I was once 15 years old.
Yes, I was once 15 and also watched Death Note.
And I don't know why I've not watched more. Well, the reason I've not watched more anime is because I've done a lot of shows at anime conventions, and anime fans can really put you off anime.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think is an unpopular opinion. They just, fans take things too far.
Any intense fans can put you off anything.
Yeah. See the discussion about Homestuck last episode, whenever it was, a million years ago.
Yeah.
But like, and like the other thing, the animes that people recommend, the sort of essentials, like there's Naruto and Bleach and One Piece and other animes that are a billion episodes long and you will never catch up on. And I just don't have time for that.
I tried to catch up on One Piece. I started reading One Piece a few years ago and kind of did the, like, figured it out, and it was more efficient to read the books than it was to watch all the episodes to catch up.
Oh, yeah. Because the anime catches up to the manga, has nothing to make episodes about, so it does, like, half season of filler.
Yeah.
And that happens, like, 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, so I was reading them, and I fell off it. But I really, really enjoyed reading them, and I was kind of going back and forth being like, well, I don't have this book, I'll just watch the episode and then go back to the books after, and and I just eventually lost track of it. I was also reading them like on my computer, and I don't like doing that, which is probably why I stopped reading them altogether.
No, I don't. I can't get into sort of e-reading or computer reading of books and stuff. Saying that, I don't read much physical books either, but I much prefer that to digital copies. Can't quite pinpoint why.
I absolutely love my Kobo. But I prefer reading physical books, but my life means that that's hard. And so I can take, you know, 100 books with me on tour in this little thing. Or I could take probably 2 books, you know?
Yeah, I get that. There's so many like upsides to it. And if I had like a proper e-reader, it might be a little bit different, but I've like tried to read books on tablets and stuff.
And yeah, I don't like reading on anything except my actual e-reader.
Yeah, it just doesn't stack up.
Yeah. Do you have an Amazon, or yes, everybody has an Amazon account, but do you listen to audiobooks? Was the question I wanted to ask.
I've tried. I listened to a couple of Terry Pratchett audiobooks, and I don't know if they were just badly produced, but I just couldn't pay attention to what was going on.
I really like, I don't do this because I have a Kobo, not a Kindle, but I like, because Amazon has, if you have an Audible subscription, you can get the book on Kindle and Audible, and it'll automatically sync up like the book or the audiobook to whatever point you last left one of them.
That's so really you can, handy.
Yeah. I forget what it's called. They have a name for it, but I have a Kobo, which I prefer because you can use Chapters gift cards on your Kobo, which both of those are like the reason I would get either platform, but it didn't exist when I was choosing the Amazon thing. So, and I find Audible expensive.
Yeah. Like if you don't, like audiobooks in general are super expensive. Like, you can pay like £30.
Yeah.
It's
a whole production. Like, it's definitely worth it. I just can't afford it.
Oh yeah. Like,
yeah.
That's like, I'm not saying it's not worth it. I'm just saying a book is cheaper.
Yeah, exactly.
And an ebook is even cheaper. But just like, let's look up Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix on audiobook. £75.
Seriously?
£73.60.
Wow.
That's for the CD. It's how many CDs is it? Nope, can't find it by just cursory scrolling. So, 24 CDs. So, okay, that's quite a big one. It is 29 hours long.
I'm converting that for my brain.
All right.
That's $125.
Holy cow.
yeah.
Meanwhile, you can get the paperback for £3.85.
yeah.
Like, it's clear that, I mean, the audiobook, again, is 29 hours. It's read by Stephen Fry. So he's like, I could pay attention to Stephen Fry for 30 hours, mm-hmm. but I'm not paying £75 for the privilege.
And I've heard that the Harry Potter audiobooks are some of the best audiobooks out there too.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
But still, that also, that I just noticed that £75, that is it on sale.
Perfect.
RRP is £92.
Wow.
Or you can get it for free with an Audible trial, which kind of tells you the actual value of the product.
Mm. Yeah, I did my free book with the Audible trial once, so I can never do it again. And I listened to the Graveyard book by Neil Gaiman, and that was great. And it was because I had started reading the book and then I was at work and I was like, I need to know what happens. So I signed up for Audible on my lunch break and finished the book that day. And that's the thing too. I find that because I can do it while doing other stuff.
Yeah.
I finish the book faster and then I want to get another one and then I'm just going to spend more money for the same stories.
Yeah.
Like
with an Audible subscription, you get one free book a month.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can listen to the audiobook while you're doing all of your things, like you could get, for example, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, which is a very, very long book. Mm-hmm. But that's 29 hours and I could easily do that in a week if I was listening to it. Like if I was to listen to that while I was normally listening to my podcasts, mm-hmm. I can get through 29 hours in like a weekend.
Absolutely.
So I would get through books, audiobooks so fast. So one new book a month is just not going to cut it.
Yeah. Which like the fact that you get through them quickly is kind of a good thing about audiobooks, but also still makes them harder, still is a case against them because I don't have the money to support getting through the stories that quickly.
Although apparently Audible has a really good returns policy. So you could listen to it all and then tell them you didn't like it and they'll give you your tokens back.
Yeah, that feels not nice though.
No, it's not nice. But charging me £95 for a copy of Harry Potter is also not very nice.
You know what? Fair enough. Yeah, no, I would also fall behind on my podcast. Like I spend my listening time, it's already listening to other stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like my Google Play Music subscription, that is like if I was paying, we have a family plan on that, which is like, it's like £15 a month for up to 5 accounts, or you can pay for £10 a month for one single account.
Right.
If I had that £10 a month on a single account, I would cancel it instantly because I just do not listen to it enough.
Mm-hmm.
But like if I'm paying the equivalent of £3 a month for it, that's totally, if I want any song I want for £3 a month, that's totally worth it.
I pay for Spotify and I pay $10 a month and it's worth it to me, especially because sometimes every so often I'll be like doing a thing and a client will be like, can you just throw on music for us? And I don't just have music on my phone that's going to suit, you know, lobby music just for that. So I'll just like type in, you know, coffee house and hit shuffle. And it's worth it to not have ads for that every, you know, however many songs or whatever.
Yeah, and like that's part of the reason I have the Google Play. So like whenever I have friends over, I can just go. Google like has a radio station for when you have friends over. But also like you pay $10 a month for Spotify.
Yeah.
Spotify over here is £10 a month. That's not the same amount of money at all.
I'm going to double check this right now, but I'm fairly certain it's $10 a month over here.
Yeah, I think they make it like 10 of whatever your local currency is. Or like if it's like Iceland or Japan where they have their money in the thousands, it's a little bit different. But like if I was to get Spotify over here, I'd be paying the equivalent of $16.56 a month.
Yeah.
That's not cool at all.
No, and not really.
That's another thing that a lot of these tech companies, like a lot of these like online startups do. They'll just like, if it's $10 American, it's $10 Canadian and £10 British. And it's always like, it's always Britain, especially now when our pound is through the floor, that gets the short straw.
Yeah, I think I'm the Canada benefits from that, but that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, not it, but you know, premium for family up to 6 accounts for $14.99. So that's the same as Google Play.
Well, it's one extra. Google Play's is 5, and that's exactly why Spotify's is 6.
And yeah, I pay $9.99 Canadian a month.
I want to convert it the other way now. So how much is $9.99 Canadian in British money? That's like £6. I'd totally pay £6 a month for Spotify.
There you go.
So yeah, that's that one's worth it. But like, I suppose Netflix is the same. How much do you pay for your Netflix?
I'm pretty sure it's also, I think it's like 12 or something. I'm going to look that one up too.
Because I know we're on the biggest, baddest model with like 4K streaming and like 4 accounts at the same time. So I think we pay 15 for ours.
I pay for the cheapest plan for mine, basic $8.99 a month.
All right. Yeah, that's, I know the basic plan here is not $8.99. So I think they might have actually thought about it. Cause I think the basic here is $6.99 question mark.
Oh, sorry. I pay standard, which is $10.99. Because we have 2 users on ours, and that's what the standard one is.
Let's have a look at. It's really hard to find Netflix's pricing like on their actual website. Basic here is $5.99, and the one you're on is $7.49.
Okay.
Which is still not the same as.
But it's closer.
Yeah. $7.49 in Canadian is, that's $12.41. So you're paying like half of that.
I'm paying $10.99. I'm paying like, isn't that just like that's $1.40 less.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I thought you said that. Yeah. Numbers. that's closer, but it's like Britain often gets shafted by this like, what looks at first glance to be parity between countries and monies and stuff.
Yeah. And that's always a problem when I'm traveling. Not that I've been over there anytime recently, but like I have, and like, I'll think something's cheap and then I'll buy it and I'll be like, that wasn't cheap at all. As soon as I sit and think about it. Yeah.
Although like, I went to Germany in July. And when I changed my money into euros, the transfer rate was pretty good, but while I was in Germany, the pound crashed so hard because of the terrible political things we keep doing in this country. I got like nothing when I changed it back. It was not a good time.
Yeah, and I like that they do it this way, but it's interesting. The company that I tour with, we get per diem every day for meals, and if we're doing a show in Canada, we get $30 Canadian. And if we're doing a show in the States, we get $30 American. Like they don't even try to convert it.
I mean, you can kind of see why these companies don't, because that's just, it's just another unnecessary step.
Yeah, it's just a hurdle that someone's got to figure it out before we can get paid, right?
I wish we got the equivalent of that. Because I do a lot of work with a board game company, and we get sort of like expenses like that. But we never get close to that meal allowance. like tomorrow,
it's a pretty good one.
Like tomorrow, I'm actually doing some work with the Pokemon company.
Cool.
I'm being paid to sit and play Pokemon all day.
That's
which is
pretty
probably
great.
What I'd spend my Sunday doing anyway.
Yeah.
And like I'm getting like £8 meal allowance.
Mm.
Which just means basically go to McDonald's. And that's just not fun. Again, probably what I'd be doing on a Sunday anyway. But yeah. They sent me they told me they were gonna send me a couple of Pokemon decks to take with me in case kids didn't know how to play, so I could teach them.
That's cool.
But they're doing it for the new set of cards that are just coming out. So I assumed I'd get some really cool pre-release decks for the new set. No, they sent me them from like 3 generations ago.
Oh, good.
It's just whatever they had in the back of the storeroom.
Well, you still get to play. You still get to get paid to play Pokemon.
I mean, yeah. And they sent me like this cool Pokemon trading card game T-shirt that I have to wear that I'm just totally gonna wear anyway.
Yeah.
I don't get to work with these board game guys a lot, but when I do, it's always a really good, like they treat us really well. And it's always like you're just playing board games all day. You're either teaching or playing all day. So it's not a bad job.
It's pretty great. I've never played the Pokemon card game.
I hadn't until very recently. I'd played the Pokemon card game video game.
Okay.
That is the most redundant thing in the world.
I've played the Magic video game.
Is that just you're playing Magic on a console?
Yes.
Because the Pokemon trading card game, Game Boy game, which is the full title of it, that it is just you're simulating battles, and that's the only way I knew how to play. Because obviously when we were kids, the cards came out. It's just I got a Blastoise. I'm keeping him because he's a Blastoise. But I only recently learned how to play because my roommate Sarah, she's really into the. She doesn't build decks; she just buys them. And what Pokemon does is when the World Championships come out, they release special edition decks of the people that came first, second, and third.
That's like a great idea.
Like they've got special backs and the borders are different colors, so you know they're not tournament legal. Mm-hmm. But it's just a really cool sort of way to bolster the competitive field. So every year she'll buy all three of the decks.
Cool. That'd be a good way to learn too.
Oh yeah. Although they released them like 3 to 6 months after the actual world championships. So
you
get to know how people were playing the world championships when the meta has completely changed.
Yeah.
Everything's new and those decks aren't even near competitive anymore.
That's why I stopped keeping up with Magic. I couldn't ever keep up with what was actually good.
Yeah, like, I think that, like I used to play a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh, and the way that Yu-Gi-Oh sort of keeping things legal worked is they just had a list and they went, these cards you can't use because they're too powerful, and these cards you can only use one of, and these ones you can only use two of. Everything else that we've ever put out, you can put as many as, like, you can put up to 3 in your deck and everything's fine. But like, I recently learned Magic and Pokemon, you can like only use cards from the last X amount of sets. That's so crafty. That forces players to keep buying the new stuff.
Yeah, that's why I stopped. I could not afford to keep playing Magic, so I stopped playing it. Yeah.
Well, like the new Magic set came out recently and my local board game cafe did a pre-release party. And like the tickets to the pre-release party were like 40 quid for, and like to get the cards 2 weeks early, you're spending like twice the price. And it was full that night.
Yeah.
People get way crazy over what are just little pieces of card.
Yeah. I mean, I'd pay double price for something I cared about that much, I'm sure.
But if you could wait 2 weeks and get it literally half the price.
Yeah, it would have to be like a special edition or a signed thing or something like that. If I could wait 2 weeks, I would wait the 2 weeks.
Yeah, like if I'm getting some extra stuff paying more, I'd happily do that. Mm-hmm. It's like buying special editions of video games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I get a cool statuette or something, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah. I'm on vacation, right? This is a completely side note, but I'm on vacation and it was like a short flight here, but the bus to Halifax when I visited my friend is 7 hours because it stops. And I brought my Nintendo Switch, and this is also why I managed to read the entire Age of Ultron event. But I brought my Switch and I left all the games at home by accident. Oh, yeah.
That's awful. Like I saw this picture on the Nintendo subreddit. Somebody bought their Switch to play in the airport and play on the plane, right? Mm-hmm. But they accidentally bought two of the left Joy-Con.
How does that happen?
Because they kept them all separately and they just grabbed two without looking. Okay. And that injures me. So you didn't bring any games.
I brought Breath of the Wild because it was in the thing. Well, but the only thing I have left to do is Ganon, and I'm like gearing up to fight him right now. And kind of like I've been using the internet to be like, all right, I want to upgrade this, so I need to find the dragon, and he only appears at this time. And it wasn't sort of like a bus ride kind of thing.
In any other situation, Breath of the Wild would be the best game to be stuck with, but because that's all you have left to do, you did kind of scuppy yourself.
Yeah, and I have Thumper saved on it, which is one of my favorite games ever. But it's a rhythm game. It's really, really good, especially if you like rhythm games. It's not like any other rhythm game I've played, and I like them a lot.
I like my rhythm games.
This is a pretty great one. I have it on PS4 and I bought it again on the Switch because I love it. And it's a VR game, which I've never once played in VR. but it's really, really good.
What is your opinion on VR games? In general,
I've never played one. I'd really like to, but I can't afford it.
The board game cafe has a VR suite, and when I was going to take photos for them, we all played around on it to get some photos of each other on it, mm-hmm. and it's really cool, really immersive, really sort of nifty. And they put me in this zombie game where you're literally stood like standing your ground and zombies are coming at you from all angles, in a sort of like, it's really creepy. The mood's really good and it scared the bejesus out of me. But I don't think I could invest in a VR headset because there are no, for lack of a better word, full games on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything that's been released on like the Vive or the Oculus, they're all like party tricks.
Right.
They're things you play once and then you watch all your friends play and then you put them down.
Yeah. And you film your friends jumping out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't justify like £800-900 on a Vive when there's no like full story driven games on them.
Mm-hmm. I already own a couple games on PlayStation that are meant to be played in VR and I just don't. So I think if I ever got a headset, it would at least come with a semi like library already.
Yeah.
But none of them are like Thumper is the only full game and it's a rhythm game. So there's still like not much story. And I have 100-foot robot golf, which it's cute and fun. And the reason I don't like it is because I just don't actually like golf games. I bought it to hear the brothers' commentary.
I was going to say, is that the one that's the one with the brothers on it? The only reason I know that has them on it is because I was showing some. I was showing Glass Shark to all of my friends.
Yeah,
and my friend Sam was like, "Those are the announcers from that golf game."
Yeah,
and I was just what? But I'm not going to buy it because it's just a golf game.
Yeah, don't. Unless you like golf games, but I don't. But I did play the whole thing so I could hear everything they had to say. And it's not a bad game. It's just not for me. And I have cat lateral damage, which I really, really like. But it's still like... Have you seen the video that Griffin and Justin did for cat lateral damage?
No, I haven't even heard the name cat lateral damage, but I need to.
Okay, look it up. It's one of my favorite Polygon videos. And it's Griffin playing cat lateral damage, and you play as a cat. It's a VR game, I think. You play as a cat, and you get points for knocking stuff off of shelves.
Wow.
That's it. That's the game. You run around a house causing havoc, knocking stuff off shelves, and there's a time limit. And you have to knock, like, a certain amount of things have to touch the floor in the time limit.
Well, I need that in my life.
It's really fun. And in the video, it's just, it's a really long video, and Justin keeps trying to leave and Griffin won't let him. And that's why it's my favorite.
Oh, that is great. I'm going to have to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably wrap up pretty soon.
Yeah, I think this is the longest one yet.
Well, we're rapidly approaching an hour. Mm-hmm.
I think we should. I'm sitting under a blanket in my mom's office because it's very echoey in here. So I'm about reaching the point where I'm done. Do you want to do a recommendation roundup before we sign off?
Yes, yes. All right, my first recommendation is going to be Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you'll really enjoy it, and I really, really enjoy it. I don't think I mentioned anything else.
I don't think so. I definitely want to watch Frank. I looked it up, and I would have watched it anyway. It looks cool.
Cool.
And mine will be Terrace House, which start with Boys and Girls in the City before Aloha State.
Okay.
That season is that season is finished and Aloha State is still going. And B, it starts, more things happen at the beginning. Aloha State takes a little bit more time to get going.
All right. Cool.
And that one's actually in Tokyo.
So is it, I assume Aloha State from the name is Hawaii. I just opened my notes app to write down these recommendations and I totally glossed over this big thing that's taken over my entire life for the past 2 weeks. I am writing an album.
Oh, nice.
And I know nothing about music production.
Well, the writing part still has to happen first so you can learn, I guess.
I mean, yeah. But like, I know very little about songwriting. I play one musical instrument and, it's a comedy album because at least then I know something about being funny. It's a comedy album about Sonic the Hedgehog.
That sounds amazing.
But you know how I know nothing about songwriting? I also know nothing about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Why did you decide to do this project?
Okay, fun story. My friend Susie on Twitter was discovering just how convoluted the Sonic the Hedgehog lore was, and she was live tweeting her entire discovery of this. And then one of our mutual friends tweeted the words, "Oh, Susie, there are so many Sonic characters." But they'd capitalized the first letter of every word. So I looked at that tweet and thought, that's an album title.
Yes, it is.
I should write that album.
Amazing. Well, I look forward to this album because that is exactly, that sounds really, really cool.
Like I made the tweets and everyone thought they were hilarious. And now I've written 7 songs and I've lost all control of my life.
You know what? That's a good thing to do in recovery, I guess.
I mean, yeah. Although I couldn't hear anything. So they might all sound terrible to everyone else.
So you're right. Okay. So you don't know much about music production, but you're writing an album.
Yep.
You don't know, and it's about Sonic the Hedgehog, which you don't know anything about, and you wrote it when you couldn't hear anything.
Yep.
I can't wait.
it's going to be an acoustic album because the one musical instrument I play is a ukulele. So it's
perfect.
All going to be ukulele music. And like some of the track titles, there's a Scar song about two characters called Heavy and Bomb that were the most obscure characters my friend Luke could think of. There's also one called It's Not the Death Star, because I was told about the Death Egg and my reaction, like I was shown a picture of the Death Egg, which literally is the Death Star, but with two lasers instead of one, and it's got a mustache, so it looks like Dr. Robotnik's face.
Oh, that's so Sonic the Hedgehog.
It is so very Sonic, but like, I took my exact reactions and just sang them over some chords. And it's my favorite song.
You know, I don't know much about Sonic either, so this is how I'm going to learn.
It's been a learning experience for me. And oh boy.
Amazing. All right. We got to go, I think.
Yeah, let's call it there.
So, thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you all for listening with us, and thank you for joining me.
Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Bye.